Joining me now, Chris Burton, who is the Vice Chair of Rail Future East Anglia. Good evening, Chris. Just tell us, for those who may not know, exactly what Rail Future is and what you do.
Well, we're a national... good evening, Dave. Rail Future is a national organisation that really has totally the interest of passengers and freight users. We have a freight division as well. We're very interested in getting freight on rail as well, but particularly passengers and the sort of deal they get. And it's often a confusing situation. I think this current statement has a little bit of that in it. So it's par for the course.
We've been promised better rail services. What exactly have the government said that they will do to make it better? Do you know?
Well, let's look at it this way. It could be said that just before the COVID outbreak began, that services were at their maximum intensity in terms of number of services over any route per hour in the day. And there was some evidence that with our infrastructure as it was and the signalling as it was just on the borderline of being workable. What's happened since is obviously far fewer people travelling, which is a tragedy. It's actually safer now to go by train than practically anything else. But anyway, that's a by the by. And we finish up with all the railway running remarkably punctually at the moment. So I think there's a sort of lesson there. The ability to run it punctually is there most of the time. One always finds the trains that don't run punctually most consistently, those that run the longest distances. Well, good heavens, somebody's going to be ill much more often if they live a long life than if they live a short life. So a long-distance train is bound to encounter more problems. So I don't think there's much way of getting around that. But so far as this new arrangement is concerned, I'm trying to see what the great virtues are. I think getting rid of all the individual train companies' own ticketing points is probably a good thing, and having a national ticketing session vantage point on the computer, if you book your tickets online, I think that's a very good idea. It is said, of course, that you can do that with Trainline at the moment, so I don't know quite where they stand in that. Other things, driving significant efficiencies, it says, in the railway's inflated costs. Well, that's certainly true, and that is the greatest problem the railway has, is not controlling its costs, and they're not by any means always labour. There are lots of other costs and so on that come in, and almost nobody seems to be able to take control and get a grip. And I don't think it's essentially a political problem. I think it's just within the railway. Quite how they do this, I don't know. I'm not in management.
I've just been looking through some of the other things that the government, so Grant Shapps, has said. And I think that the two things that really stand out for consumers, once you get past the punctuality and the availability and also the ability to sit down on a train, but importantly, it all comes down to tickets, because we may not be travelling as much as we used to. So buying a season ticket, where to make it worthwhile, you have to travel almost 5 to 6 times a week on it, they're now doing flexible tickets.
Yes, well, we've been advocating that, as have other people, for some time. So I think Keith Williams obviously picked that up, his committee, and it appears to have run with that. The only problem I see with that is that ticketing is very much linked with what the Treasury, the Chancellor, expects from the railways in terms of a return on investment, which is very considerable in any one year. And basically, the users of the railway pay more for that sort of thing than the taxpayer does. That changed over a long, long period of time, many, many, many governments ago. But I'm not quite sure how that's going to work today. Certainly, they can make it more reliable if they wish. But that takes time. It takes really professional, and there are a lot of really professional railway operators who go out of their way to make sure the trains over their patch operate well. We've got new technology coming in, which might make an enormous difference, where there will be cab signalling in the next 10 years, probably, on certain lines, which will be safer. It will be absolutely there for the driver to see, with a lot of advice about how he or she should be driving. And those sort of things will come in gradually.
Chris, but do you know where this leaves franchisees such as LNER, such as Great Northern, But also it leaves them as a Greater
purely
Anglia.
Operating managing company. They will still employ the people they employ, because I don't see any chance of national railway employment. Otherwise, everybody coming going back to being a British Rail employee as they were before 1994. I don't see cat in hell's chance of that happening. No civil servant, no politician, or the majority of politicians certainly don't want that, because with that comes national negotiation and, of course, national disruption when people disagree. So I think that's extremely unlikely.
I was just wondering, with Greater Anglia, they've invested billions in their rolling stock over the past couple of years, and we've got these brand new electric hybrid trains where they also run on diesel, where there's no electrification.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are these franchises going to see a return now?
No, I think they will just be mutually rewritten, one hopes, because they don't want to lose the franchisees they have at the moment. All of those franchisees have a term of office, so to speak, and when they come to an end, the new contract will start, which is the one they're talking about now. I'm trying to think. I don't think Anglia's is due to finish until 2024, something like that. I haven't got the figure in front of me, and I'm sure they will continue as they are now, trying to run a good service. And I must say, personally, I think the new trains are very, very good indeed.
And Chris, just one final question before we let you go. We have been told that ticket prices rise annually for a reason. It's to pay for better railways and better rolling stock, better infrastructure. Why now are we saying that there will be lower prices? Does that not mean that railways will not be getting better?
Well, they also pay for something else. Hidden in the cost is a form of tax that the Treasury always gets large sums of money, $42 billion 18 months ago, from the roads. And if the railway makes inroads into that they can prove, then they want that money to come from ticketing. They're not going to forfeit it, and the Chancellor isn't going to forfeit it, because if he's got to think up a new tax otherwise. So some of that does go on to tickets, which is never widely advertised. And when you have projects, those projects have that priced in. If it's going to really attract new travellers from the road, which it usually does, that is priced into the new tickets that will be sold after the project's finished.
Well,
otherwise, I'm not too sure where that'll go.
Yeah, well, let's hope we've grabbed some meatballs out of the spaghetti of the announcement that was made by the government.
I think there's a lot more to be cleared up.
And today, Chris, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Not at all. Pleasure. Bye.
That's Chris Burton, who is the Vice Chair of Rail Future East Anglia.